Good evening to you all. As you know, this is Thursday night, and you know what that means. This is our Brahmavihara evening. And for the past number of weeks, you've been practicing with metta, the attitude of mind of goodwill, loving-kindness, friendliness. And you've progressed through the various categories of beings, starting where it's easy and then moving on to where it's more difficult and out into universality. Today we're going to move to the second of the Brahmaviharas, which is compassion, karuna. And you've already had some introduction to this through your introduction to metta, because compassion is the same attitude of mind, the attitude of goodwill and kindness and caring. It's just turned in the direction of recognizing suffering and responding in a heartfelt way to that with goodwill and the movement of the heart to relieve that. In the first talk that I offered, I talked about wise intention and the importance of the cultivation of renunciation, compassion, and goodwill. And I said that attitudinal framing right there in the second step of the Eightfold Path tells you something really important about the whole path, because wise intention, these three qualities of the heart-mind, need to be read through everything else that follows, all the other steps on the path. And you've also been introduced to compassion in conversations that you've had in your practice meetings with your teachers, where they've offered you some coaching in relationship to how to be with difficult states, painful experiences of body and mind that might arise within your practice. So you remember that morning, that coaching about, it's okay, baby cakes? Okay, that's a compassion instruction. There's something going on that's difficult, and the heart-mind responds with support and with kindness. It's okay, meaning the difficulty. It's okay, what's happening? That's hard or painful or challenging. It's okay, baby cakes. That's the metta piece. It's okay, baby cakes. Goodwill, right? Goodwill towards the self. And just like metta is a very natural quality of the heart for humans, so is compassion. We organically are compassionate. But very often we don't recognize that or realize it because it just seems like, well, yeah, duh, you know? But just as with metta, have seen you can take this natural capacity of mind and intentionally cultivate it, this is the case also with compassion, that we have the technology to directly cultivate it in addition to remembering in our practice to incline the mind towards compassion and to recognize compassion when it's present in the mind stream. All of these are ways to strengthen this quality of the heart within us. We're going to talk mostly about the relational piece of this tonight, and then we're going to spend most of our time actually practicing it. All of these Brahmaviharas have both a near enemy or enemies and a far enemy. In other words, the descriptions of these states or attitudes of mind are kind of set off by distinguishing them from their opposite and also distinguishing them from things that on first glance might seem like the same thing, but upon closer examination, that thing that's sort of like it is seen to be not it. False positive, in other words. So in the case of compassion, the far enemy is cruelty, right? So this is a circumstance where the mind is actually inclining towards taking pleasure and enjoyment in the thought or actions of causing harm to self or others. It's on board with this, right? This punishing or humiliating or physically hurting or mentally wounding, the precepts in some part are designed to keep us from acting on impulses towards cruelty. The first one of the precepts, of course, being to refrain from taking life. But then the other ones, in one way or another, are about not harming also, not causing damage, not being a wrecking ball to ourselves or others. So cruelty, you can see why that would be the antonym, right, the opposite. Where it gets sneakier is in distinguishing the near enemies, things that can seem like they're compassion, but they really aren't. So one of these is grief. Grief. Now, you would think, one would think, and this is often the case in our own experience, that when you come into contact with cruelty or suffering, that the mind suffers itself, right? It goes down into sadness or grief, or sometimes anger, and suffers itself. But we're saying that grief is not the same thing as compassion, because the idea with the practice of compassion is you don't sink your own boat. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just in the same way, if you were coming to the aid of or you were coming to the rescue of, you know, somebody during a hurricane or something, you would make sure that you were above water and in some kind of stable situation, right? So you could actually offer them help and support in a meaningful way, rather than doing things heedlessly and actually getting in a lot of trouble yourself. So allowing the mind to sink into despair or grief is not what we're going for. So there's a distinguishing that you can make between the recognition of suffering, either of yourself or of somebody else or a group of others, that recognition of suffering, which would generally be unpleasant and maybe difficult to open to, and what's going on within your own heart mind. Within your own heart mind, the subject of experience need not be unpleasant. And in fact, compassion itself is a pleasant state, which may be surprising to you. This morning, there was a question about the equanimity and when to bring forward equanimity and what equanimity was, and part of the way it was answered had to do with the importance of equanimity being read into the other Brahmaviharas, and that in order for us to be able to practice the other ones with wisdom, the mind needed to be stable and have some balance. And this is really true in regard to the practice of compassion. Right? So we don't want the lifeboat to sink. So another near enemy to compassion is the quality of pity. Not PT, pity. Different word, different thing. So, and pity is this quality of the heart where one really reifies oneself as really different from the one who needs compassion. You know, kind of like that poor thing over there, you know, that downtrodden person that we kind of react to or hold as being like just almost like another species than us. And although we may not be conscious of this sometimes, and this idea that, you know, we're untouchable, and our experience as a human is so different from that person's. Well, of course, all our experiences are different. And we all suffer in our own unique ways, but we suffer in many common ways. And it's not them over there. It's us. May we be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Right? Because nobody is ever permanently the one in the lifeboat. You may have noticed this. So there's a certain way in which mana or conceit can be reified in this in some ways. So those are some of the distinctions. And then just to acknowledge that compassion or karuna is the heart of goodwill's spontaneous reaction when that heart of goodwill becomes aware of or contacts suffering in self or other. From a place of wisdom and equanimity and some empowerment, the spontaneous, at least sometimes spontaneous, urge of the heart is to relieve that suffering. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering is a common compassion phrase. And the wisdom piece of it is we recognize that there may be things that we can actually do in real time or in daily life to help. And we do those things out of compassion and a sense of connection with others. But we don't have the magical view that just by saying these phrases we're going to be able to, you know, change somebody else's subjectivity. So all of these Brahmavihara practices are first our own cultivation of the heart directly. This is to strengthen our own inclination of mind, our own wholesomeness. That's the primary reason why we're doing these practices. And then, of course, because we're not separate from others, this shows up in our relationship with other people as well as in our relationship to others, and can easily show up in spontaneous and intentional actions and response to the distress we're feeling ourselves or the distress we recognize others are experiencing. So does that make sense? Sorta. a subjectively different experience when you have trained the mind to spontaneously respond to a recognition of your own suffering with kindness and compassion. And the mind develops that habit, that attitude of mind, and spontaneously responds and recognizes the suffering of others with compassion. Okay, I'll give you some examples of compassion phrases here. This is from the sheet that was on the board. So the traditional ones, may I or may you be free from suffering. May you be free from suffering. May I or you be free from pain and sorrow. I care about your pain and sorrow. May you hold your pain with compassion. So on the possible alternative list, I'm aware of your pain. I'm aware of my pain. This one to me sounds like a basic acknowledgement of the truth of the matter in the moment. I care about your pain. I care about my pain. The mind is not indifferent. May your pain release. May I or may you know peace. So these phrases have in common a recognition of suffering or pain and an attitude of mind that wishes for release from that suffering or that pain. Okay, so the usual, and so for compassion practice, usually you settle on one or two phrases. So the Brahmaviharas traditionally have four phrases. Here with compassion practice, we usually have a shorter list. And usually you would start compassion practice with someone someone whose pain or suffering you recognize, right? You would have a candidate whose dukkha is pretty clear to you. And that would be the person that you would work with. So in picking who you would work with compassion practice, you don't want to pick someone where the mind would be overwhelmed. Can you see why I said that, given what I said earlier about the near enemy of compassion being grief? Sometimes despair can get in there too, right? So my understanding is you've been doing both structured and radiating metta, is that correct? So this practice, you can choose either of those approaches also. You can choose either to pick a single individual or individuals and offer them the metta phrases in turn, or you can ground yourself in the metta intention and then just be inclusive in radiating it in all directions. Or you can sit there and wait for somebody to pop up, give them an application. Okay. So it might be skillful if your mind is kind of feeling low and you're experiencing a good amount of dukkha yourself at the moment. It might be useful for you to actually start by doing some metta, to actually priming the pump of some wholesomeness in your mind stream, and then cut over to compassion practice. Okay, so we're going to have about half an hour to actually practice, largely in silence. So first thing for you to do is to see how you want to practice this evening. I'm just going to start you at the beginning and then you can freeform it. So using the traditional method, bring to mind a person you're aware has pain or suffering or difficulty now. Someone for whom the mind is willing to offer care and support. And letting yourself develop a sense of felt connection to them. Perhaps with a visual image. Letting yourself know the tender inclinations of your own heart. Oh, yes, it is. It is painful to be human. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. I care about your difficulty. May you have the help and support you need. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. I care about your difficulty. Just continuing on in your own way. And at some point in this sitting, it would be beneficial to actually work with yourself. And now, if you wish, just reflecting on the challenges of being humans and our vulnerable bodies and our unruly minds, and the uncontrollability of things. How can this be met? How can this truth be held in a way that is strengthening, wisdom promoting? May I be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May we be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all living beings without exception be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. And may we all find liberation and peace.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.